New episode, new week on time. Say it ain't so, say it ain't so. Thank you guys for joining us for yet another week of the show. It's so fun doing these episodes. This week is no different. We are running through unpopular opinions and what would you do scenarios, so stay tuned for that. But if you guys are new to the show, this show is all about facilitating discussion. We talk about pop culture, entertainment, politics is sprinkled in there, but it's a mixed bag. There's always something for everybody on this show, and we like to challenge each other on every single episode, and I'm sure y'all enjoy listening to it each week exactly for that reason. So thank you guys for listening. Feel free to click the link in the description where you guys can send us an anonymous question, any comment, concern, hate mail. If you want to do that, feel free to do that, and hey, we'll still read it on air. But nevertheless, this is going to be a good episode. Excited for you guys to hear it. Hope you guys are doing well. Follow us on Instagram. The links to that are in the description. And get in touch with the show. Dante, how are you this week? What's going on with you?
Football's back. And the Eagles just scored a touchdown. They are blowing Atlanta out right now, 29-6. How did the Cowboys do on Thursday?
We lost by two, but it's all good. It's all good because that was the best team in the NFL. That's the reigning Super Bowl champions. And we put up a fight, a big fight. People were not even giving us a chance. All the prognosticators were saying that we would lose, that we would get blown out. And to everybody's surprise, the Cowboys almost won the game. Are there a few things that we need to change up? Of course. But the Cowboys are going to be a dynamic offense this year. So it's going to be exciting to see whether or not we make the playoffs or not. I don't know. It's to be seen. But I'm excited with the way the boys look so far.
I know you well enough to know that you don't believe in consolation prizes. Stop lying to yourself right now, okay? Taking an L is okay. Bouncing back is what matters.
This is not a participation trophy type podcast. This is not
we don't do that here.
Victory type podcast. But no, the Cowboys looked good. We lost at the end of the day. We weren't expected to win that game, so I don't really care. But next week, it kind of puts you in a position to win because you don't want to start out the season 0-2. So next week is a must-win game. But it's always fun. America's team. People always like to watch us, and we're always a conversation starter on every single network. We love to see it.
I guess so. So, Justin, you want to kick us off this week?
Yes, with my first unpopular opinion.
Yes, sir. Let's go for it.
Okay, so my first unpopular opinion, let's see. One that I saw that was interesting. We don't praise people who don't create their own obstacles enough. I always see posts about a girl who got pregnant and she went on to graduate, or a three-time felon who gets a job, or a heroin addict that gets clean and gets love. Congrats. Glad they overcame their struggle. But they did that to themselves. They get all the public praise while people doing the right thing get nothing. Where's the recognition for the woman who took her birth control faithfully and focused on school before reproducing? Where's the love for the guy who followed the law and built a career? The person who just said no and never touched the drugs. Shout out to those on the straight and narrow, and I'll praise you if nobody else will. Ooh, what do you think? What do you think? We don't praise people who don't create their own obstacles enough.
I don't know where you're going to fall on this, but it doesn't matter. It's both of our opinions, right? And like I said before, I'll say it again, prefacing it on this episode because it's hella important to say it on this episode. You are still allowed to have an opinion. Doesn't matter if people think you're right or wrong. You're still allowed to have an opinion and feel the way that you feel. People are going to disagree with you. That's life. I love this unpopular opinion. I love it. And it has to do, and I have an unpopular opinion later in the show that's going to kind of talk about this one a little bit, but I love it. Yeah, great. It's great you overcame a problem that you made. That's kind of what you should do, right? If you make a problem, you should fix it. But the people that always did the right thing, like, yeah, they deserve a pat on the back because I've been one of those people. I'm like, how come? I dealt with that growing up because I would see people that, you know, were in my life or around my life always fucking up. And then it seems like everybody's always congratulating them and giving them a pat on the back. And I'm like, man, I just been crushing it, doing what I'm supposed to do, and it seemed like it just goes unnoticed. And people, even if you're doing the right thing, sometimes you need positive reinforcement, man. So I love this unpopular opinion.
I actually disagree with the person
I knew it.
Had this unpopular opinion. I definitely disagree because everybody's life circumstances is different. This is something that I'll always champion on the show. I know the way I was raised. I know the environment that I came from. The stuff that I had to deal with is something completely different from somebody that had it hard, that somebody that grew up in a terrible environment. The type of distractions I had, the type of obstacles that I had to overcome is completely different. So for this person to say that we don't celebrate people who don't create their own obstacles, you know, everybody's circumstance is different. So whatever obstacles and challenges I had is obviously going to be different. And the odds of me messing up might be lower because of where I was from. And the odds of somebody messing up could be increased because of what they're surrounded by. If they're surrounded by drugs, guess what? The chances of them getting involved with drugs is going to increase. The people that get pregnant, the type of education that they have, the type of parenting that they got plays a key role in their life and their decision making.
Can I jump in there for a second? Because you said something.
Sure.
About the pregnancy thing. Like, sure, what you said does play a key role in it about education and everything, but we can't blame that. We can't say education is the key to people fucking and making, you know, having unprotected sex or whatever it is. Like, you can beat people. Hold on. You can beat people over the head about wearing condoms or, you know, not having sex before marriage, whatever they taught in your neck of the woods about contraception and avoiding STDs and teenage pregnancy. At the end of the day, people are going to do what they want to do. I, in my life, since we're real on this podcast, right? Like, we're real on here, Justin. Right. In my life, I know the chances that you take having unprotected sex. I have known that my whole life. I have had access to condoms in my younger years, but did I still decide to use them? Sometimes no. Like, it just is what it is. I was very well educated on it. So why I agree that you can't paint everybody with a broad brush, I champion that on this podcast too. You know that. I don't think that everything is black and white and every situation is this exactly the same. We're humans. We're just a walking variable. I can't say that it all comes down to education. Like, there's a such thing as free will too.
There is though. And I'm saying that your environment, you know, is one of many factors that contributes to somebody's decision making. What you did is bring up an example with you. That's you. That's your life. That's your circumstance. You don't know what other people have had to deal with, what kind of pressures that they have. Yes, we have free will at the end of the day, but I think that overcoming obstacles is still a big feat considering where people are from and what they've had to deal with. You know, you have two parents. There's some people that don't. There's value in having a two-parent household. You can applaud people who don't make mistakes and have been living on the straight and narrow. Applaud them and encourage them as well. But I do think it's still a feat worth recognizing when somebody that had everything go against them still finds a way to impact their life in a positive way. And I think that that should be praised. Yes, I'm not going to be like, well, why'd you get pregnant? Or why did you dabble into drugs? That doesn't matter. That's then. What are you doing now? We always talk about this society being, what have you done for me lately? Okay, you finished school. You were a drug addict. You had a baby early, but now you're working a good job and you're supporting your kid. I applaud you for that because despite your circumstances, you've moved beyond that and have made a better life for yourself. So that still deserves praise.
Right. Here's the thing. I'm not saying that it doesn't. I didn't say that, and I don't know if that this person said. I mean, you read it physically. I didn't. I don't know if this person is saying that they don't deserve praise. Sure you do, because you overcame something. The point of contention that I have, and I think what this person has, is a situation you created. If I decide to drive drunk and get a DUI, I'm the one that has to go through all that stuff, lose my job, pay the fines, maybe jail time, probation, all that stuff, and have to work to get back to the spot that I messed up at. And yeah, I should be praised for keeping my head up and working through that, but I created that problem. I think that in the society, and I think that maybe this is what this person was getting at here, is we don't encourage people who are just doing the things that are expected of you, doing the right thing enough. That's what I'm thinking, and that's why I agreed with this person.
I think we do, though.
So what if you come from a place you're doing the right thing, always have been, the area around you, your environment is shit. That little bit of encouragement saying, hey, man, like, you did this, that could do a lot for somebody.
It does. And they do get praised. People that are the first to graduate in their family, they do get praised. It's not like people that do well in life never get their accolades or nobody says, you're doing a good job. That happens all the time.
So you're saying that and I'm asking here, I'm not accusing you of saying anything because I don't do that, that people who have fallen down and, in air quotes, overcome deserve more praise? Is that what the crux of where we disagree with this is?
No, I'm not saying that. Okay. I don't think I that anybody deserves that. More praise than anybody. Okay. Both can be praised is my thing, because we always like to say, this person deserves this more, this person deserves... No, let's hold both people up and say, good job, you overcame some stuff. Good job, you haven't overcame anything, but you're still on the straight and narrow. Great. Encourage everybody.
Well, it seems like we agree about that, that both people deserve to be praised. My thing is, I don't think people who are doing the right things get praised enough. And maybe it's just because it's a better story, right? An underdog story or overcoming something story sounds better. But yeah, I mean, unless you have anything else to say about it, I think this is a great one.
Because I kind of compare it to like whenever you're writing your college essays and they always like talk about any disparities that you've gone through. And obviously the people that have gone through stuff have a lot to write about. I was talking months ago to one of our listeners, shout out to Abby. And this was months ago, and she was talking about how whenever she was applying for college, she had difficulty writing her personal statement and her essay because she comes from privilege. And it's interesting because it's like everybody goes through stuff, but in college, is that weighed more if you come from a destitute community and you're writing your essays and you have more to draw from versus somebody that maybe hasn't had to struggle? What exactly are they supposed to write about to make themselves stand out without being overshined by somebody that has gone through struggle? Does somebody that has gone through struggle deserve more shine than somebody that has an abundance of privilege?
Well, goddamn, that's fucking deep. Wow. I didn't think about like that's a very tell her I said thank you for sharing that. For real, because that's not something I thought about, you know? Wow. All right, then.
Because how does that work? Because somebody that has a bunch of privilege has never had to struggle. They worked hard in school just like everybody else, but they don't have enough to draw from that will really like get the admissions committee to be like, wow, you've really struggled and you've overcome your obstacles. Like, we're going to give you entry into this college.
I think that's like a fundamental problem with the admissions thing. Then so it was like, okay, so we're just going to reward struggle. Like maybe somebody is just a stellar student. They had a great background, a great upbringing, a great nuclear family and support system. And they're a great student and they would be, you know, a great asset to this university. Like, are we just out here looking for struggle stories? Are we just out here, you know, as you would say, I'm twisting this to something else that we talked about on another episode. Are they just looking for the Mary J. Blige type of stuff in this? Right. Like the struggle love. Because that's a them problem.
Well, it's about a story. It's about telling your story. And I do think that everybody does have a unique story. Maybe you didn't struggle, but maybe you've struggled in different ways. And I do think there's a way for people from privilege to, you know, give their story. And I don't think you have to lie and say that, oh, I'm poor, I'm this, I'm that, to get ahead if you come from privilege. Both people, you know, have equal chances of getting in. And I don't think that struggle is the only thing that they look at in terms of allowing people to come to their school. You still have to have good grades and everything else.
There should still be some substance there for sure. But yeah, what do you guys think? You know what, Justin, we should probably put the unpopular opinion ones up as polls on the story and have people, you know, vote in and see what they think. That was a great unpopular opinion, Justin. That created a lot of conversation. I don't know if either one of us thought that it would. You know, I have one, an unpopular opinion, and I want to see where you and also the listeners fall in on this one. I saw one online today and it said that everyone should donate their organs when they die. What do you think about that?
I think that everybody should be allowed to make their own decisions. There's people that have different customs, whether that be religion or whatever, where they do burials. Some people do cremations. I think that it should be left up to the family to decide what they want to do with that person's body and up to the individual. So I don't think that there should be a law or anything. I'm not sure that's what the person was getting at, but I don't think there's should be some kind of like notion or law that everybody that dies should give up their organs. It'd be great, you know, because a lot of organs are needed for people that need transplants and stuff, but I don't think anybody should be forced to do that. I don't think that anybody should be obligated to do that. It's up to the individual.
Yeah, I hope I didn't interpret this as they were saying it should be a law, because I don't believe in that, but like a moral thing, sure, man, if it's just going to go to waste anyway in the ground or get burnt up, and somebody could use that to save their life or change the direction of their life, like, I wholeheartedly support that. I think that's a great way to, I mean, I guess live isn't the right term because you're dead, right? I think it's a great way to die. I don't know how to phrase that. But, you know,
right.
What's the point of me taking these with me if somebody else could use them, if it could help somebody else, right? Just put me in a nice suit, leave whatever's there after you chop me up from the inside, sew me back up, make me look pretty. That's how I feel about it. So
interesting. What do you guys think about that one? Do y'all want to be cremated? Do y'all want to donate your organs whenever you're not here anymore? What do y'all want? What are the pros and cons of each? Because some people argue that getting buried in the traditional sense is taking up space. I would argue against that, but some people think it. They're free to have their opinion. But what do you guys think? Write in the anonymous question bank and let us know.
So, Justin, I've seen on Black Twitter recently, you know, one of these, what would you do as old as Black Twitter itself, Justin? And I have to ask you and the listeners, if somebody is offering you $500K or dinner with Jay-Z, what would you do?
Oh, my gosh. This is easy. $500K. Even the title Twitter account came out and said, take the $500K. So this is an old Twitter thing that resurfaces every few months, and it's asking people, what would you do? Would you go to dinner with Jay-Z so he can school you and like how to make money like him and become a billionaire? Or are you going to take the instant $500,000 cash? And a lot of people, some people were saying that I would go to the dinner with Jay-Z so that he can school me, so that I can get the knowledge, the inside knowledge that he has, so I can make more than $500K in the long run. They're trying to make the argument that people are too satisfied taking the now than playing the long game and trying to make more than $500K in the future. I think that that's foolish. If I had the opportunity to instantly get $500K, I would take it. I can invest that money. I can be smart with it and make a whole lot of money. I don't think that Jay-Z is going to sit down with me in dinner and explain to me, a mere mortal, how he made it. You know, obviously, if you follow his career, you know that he sold drugs, he used the money and invested it in himself and in his career. And from there, he was able to invest smartly, build up some repertoire for himself. And eventually he was the head of a record label and the story goes on. But that's how he was able to amass his wealth. So if you just study what people have done to be successful, you can easily turn $500K into a whole lot more than that. So I would take the $500K, and I hope you guys out there would as well.
I am in full agreement with you. Listen, there ain't nobody walking the face of this earth that I'd take having dinner with over $500K. Sure, you can sit there and listen to this man and he can tell you, you know, all the steps, but do you have it in you to do the steps that he's telling you to do? Or do you believe in yourself to retain that information? Do you think that everything will play out the same exact way for you? Too many variables. You can take that money now, and if you're smart with money, you can turn that into more money than what you began with. This is a no-brainer for me. And the people are like, oh, well, y'all don't understand business, or y'all not hungry enough. You're a fucking idiot, okay? You're the type of person that if somebody's like, hey, you're starving on a desert island, here's a Happy Meal and here's a pot. You're like, well, I'm gonna get the pot because my hunger drives me to catch all the fish. It's like, shut the fuck up, man. Like, you're just showing off for people that you ain't never gonna meet anyway. Like, shut the fuck up. You sound stupid. Get some help.
Yeah. There's a lot of people on Twitter that think they're so smart, but they're really not. And I don't know if they're joking or if they're really that naive, but honestly, stop trying to play 3D chess. Take what's in front of you and make the best out of that situation. A lot of people try and do too much. It's really not that hard. Take the $500K and pay off your loans.
Right. Buy something nice for your mama or something. Like, why are you out here fronting? Like, oh, I would go to this dinner. Like, shut the fuck up. Shut up.
That's stupid, because Jay-Z will forget my name by the time that dinner is over. Yeah, why would he give a mere mortal all the knowledge? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, but that's Twitter for you, I guess.
It's dumbness for you. Stop that Rock Nation brunch Twitter shit, man.
Yeah, I've had enough. My next unpopular opinion, somebody said, parents are getting worse and worse because they've had a bad experience they didn't like as a kid, and they take an oath that they won't do the same with their own children. So they said, for some context, I've seen people who let their kids get away with everything because, quote unquote, I got upset when my parents yelled at me, so I won't do that to my kids. Or I hate getting grounded, so I won't do that to my kids. Well, buckle up. Parenting isn't easy. There's a reason they yelled. There's a reason you got grounded, because it works. You disliking it is the goal. Why? Because it means you're likely to not do it again. Okay. So do you agree or disagree with what this person is saying? They're saying that parenting is getting worse because people don't want to teach the negative aspects of their childhood to their kids, I guess.
You know, I got to preface this by saying I don't have kids. Thank God. I didn't say that last part. I don't have kids right now. And from observing, I would agree in this, especially the way that they laid this out. Like, oh, my parents yelled at me, so I don't want to yell at my kids. Like, no, that shit builds character, man. Like, there needs to be deterrence, right? The parenting is about nurturing and teaching and loving. And, you know, if I put my hand on a hot stove, I'm going to learn what hot is that day, right? So if I did something that broke the rules of the household that I was being raised in, they are going to punish me. And that should be a deterrent so I don't ever do this again. So if you're saying, oh, well, you know, I talked back to my parents and they yelled at me and I didn't like that feeling, so when my kid talks back, I'm going to let them do it. Here's the thing. You should discipline and be an authority figure on your child and people, you know, people that are younger than you that you care about in your family and life in the house, so that they don't go out and feel entitled and get punched in their face in the world, because that person that's going to punch them in the face don't love them. And I'm not saying that you need to hit them. I'm talking about metaphorically speaking. You need to be that person to discipline them and put them in their place, because they will go out in the real world and talk to somebody crazy and get hurt. So I fully agree with this person.
I disagree with this person. I don't think that parenting is getting worse.
We're not going to agree on anything today, are we?
I guess not. I think that, you know, as you get older, as our parents got older, as we get older, we're picking up on things based on how they treated us growing up. Some things worked well, and you teach that to your kids, and some things didn't. And it always comes down to discipline. And a lot of people feel like sometimes their parents, they are exhibiting behaviors that their parents taught them, and they feel like that's the best way to raise their children. Based on how you treat your kid, that can have effects and ramifications in the future. So if you don't do the right thing, you know, your kid could end up hating you, your kid could not, you know, end up in a good headspace, and it could lead to mental health issues that a lot of people struggle with today. I think that what I agree with in terms of what this person is saying is that, yes, there are parents out there that don't want to exhibit certain behaviors towards their children because part of the negative stuff that they dealt with their parents, it harmed them or affected their relationship. And I think that you have to have a stable, clear relationship with your kid and establish boundaries while also being a parent. You talked about putting your hand on a stove. Some people can get punished because they put their hand on the stove and they get spanked because of that. Is spanking really the right way to teach somebody not to put their hand on the stove? How about you sit them down and talk about why that's such a bad thing instead of hitting them? Based on the way you parent your kid, it can affect the way they respond to you as a parent. They didn't say this, but it kind of sounds like they're like talking about this cupcake generation, because a lot of people might say that we're too sensitive on people. And I think a lot of the sensitivity that people are talking about stems from abuse that they endured when they were younger, and they don't want to put that same abuse on their kid. And I definitely agree with not spreading that abuse to further generations.
That I agree with, right? I'm not talking about going out here and abusing people, because no, that's wrong. Like, there's a lot of people that were abused and it was veiled as love. Like, no, I'm beating the shit out of you because I love you. That ain't love. Your parents took it too far, man. But I'm saying, like, just disciplining somebody, like, if you're saying, oh, I don't want to yell at them because X, Y, Z, like, listen, there needs to be rules and boundaries and things of that nature and discipline for bad behavior in a household. Because if there's not, your kid's just going to come out here and be a heathen, and the real world's going to deal with them. And it's your job to protect them and to teach them things. That's my point of view on it.
Yeah, I agree that you still need to discipline your kid, but sometimes yelling is not the solution for whatever they're getting in trouble for. There's certain ways to handle certain situations, and you have to do it in a mature way.
Well, yeah, but we're not breaking it down situation by situation right now. But I know what you're saying. Again, there's not a one size fits all or one punishment fits all for different transgressions.
Right.
For sure.
My biggest point is you don't want to continue the cycle of abuse into further generations, because sometimes spanking somebody isn't the best way to teach them that what they did is wrong. Sitting them down, talking to them, explaining consequences can scare them more than striking them ever will. So that's what I'm trying to say, because I think that sometimes people think that, of course, I'm going to spank my children. Children need to know their rights and know whatever. And then that leads to them, you know, messing up in the future, and it causes resentment. So you have to, you know, be smart with the way you discipline your kids. Do kids still need to be disciplined? Of course, because how else are you going to raise somebody if there are no rules?
Exactly. if there's no rules, what are we really doing here?
Yeah. But that's it for this unpopular opinion. What do you guys think? And do you agree with what this person is trying to say? Do you think that parenting is getting worse because people are too afraid of the bad treatment that they got whenever they were young? What do you think?
Yeah, thank you for that. Well, Justin, I have another unpopular opinion. And this one says, the idea of never quit, never give up is dumb. Knowing when to cut your losses is very smart. What do you got for that one, Justin?
I think it depends on the situation. If you had like a couple scenarios, then it'd be easier for me to be like, yeah, it makes sense in this situation. It doesn't make sense in this situation. I definitely think that people should know when to quit. I don't think quitting is necessarily a bad thing because you can stop yourself from losing a lot, whether that's gambling or whatever. Knowing when to stop is probably good. When it comes to drinking, knowing when to stop is probably a good idea. So it depends on the situation.
The way I interpret it, like, listen, I agree with this unpopular opinion because knowing when to walk away from something is a fucking skill that a lot of people don't have. There's certain times where beating your head up against the wall isn't going to accomplish the goal. Like, it's time to walk away and figure out something new or come up with a new game plan. You know, they all, that cliche, right? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. Sometimes you gotta go back to the drawing board, or sometimes you need to just leave it alone altogether. So, you know, even more so, being satisfied knowing, hey, I gave it everything I had and I gave it the best that I had, I'm okay with wiping my hands of this and walking away. I think a lot of people have too much ego to say something like that and really believe that, you know? And it probably hurts being able to admit that, like, hey, I had a goal and I could accomplish it. I did my best. I tried my best. I gave it my all and I still couldn't reach it. I want to walk away now and set a different goal. And I respect that because I've done that.
I think it's mature. I think there's value in knowing who you are, what you can tolerate, what you can handle. You know, I think that that's an emotionally mature thing to do. And not everybody is that mature. That's not like a shade or anything, but it's true. Some people don't know when to quit. And sometimes giving up or quitting can actually help you in the long run. Like Dante said, going back to the drawing board and figuring out what works and figuring out what doesn't work. And then when you come back, you perform better because you know what your limits are or aren't, I guess. So I agree with that person in that sense, when you frame it that way.
Whoa, we got one. We got one. Wow. Let me come back in here with a what would you do?
Okay.
You are at a friend's house. You know, let's say you're high school, middle school, whatever it is. You're at a friend's house. Their parents are in an argument and things get physical. What would you do?
Who's hitting who?
Let's say the father's hitting the mother.
I would get in between it and stop it. I know that whenever you're young, you kind of feel scared to get involved whenever older people are having some kind of disagreement or physical altercation. You know, I'm going to get between it because obviously I don't want to see anybody getting hit. And I don't think that that's the best way to solve anything. So I'm going to get involved and, you know, put a stop to it before it gets worse.
Okay, so you asked who's hitting who. Now to reverse it, what if it's the mother hitting the father? What are you doing?
Same thing. I just wanted to know for that particular situation, who's hitting who? Because are they both putting their hands on each other? Is one party hitting the other person? There are important things that we need to know, Dante.
Yeah, no, I would, I don't know, it's just always been who I am. I would get involved too and do my best to separate these people and calm down the situation because one, it's unhealthy. Two, your kid definitely shouldn't be seeing that. And if you're that comfortable doing that when you have, your kid has a guest over, like, God knows what that kid's seeing when nobody else is there, you know? So I would do my best to put a stop to that situation. That's not a time to be scared, right? Doing the right thing, you shouldn't be scared of. And that's just my wisdom for today, I guess.
Wow, look at Dante dropping dimes. Dropping dimes on the people. No, I agree with that. Sometimes kids are scared to get involved, but every human understands when something isn't right. And when you see two people physically fighting each other, get involved and put a stop to it so that people don't get hurt.
That's our PSA for today, guys. You can take that, cut it, and use it anywhere you want.
My next unpopular opinion. Somebody said, I don't think DoorDashers or other delivery drivers deserve the same tip as a waiter or waitress. But in their blurb, they say, why does my DoorDasher want 20% gratuity? Don't check the order, don't take the order, and usually zero interaction with the customer. Essentially, they're doing less work than the driver. We don't tip them. It's like the business wants customers to pay their salaries. For the record, I've delivered food and waited tables. I'm not some lazy and entitled douche. I have experience doing both jobs. I know the difference. I tip. I just think that 20% gratuity for food delivery is high.
Whoa. All right. I love that. That's a hot take coming in. Well, I honestly don't think that it is, because I completely agree with this person. You shouldn't be tipping delivery drivers the same amount you would tip somebody that's been waiting on you, bringing you your food, refilling your drinks, checking in with you and all that stuff. They're doing two completely different jobs. In college, I worked two jobs at one time and still was a full-time student. Humble flex right there. And one of them was was delivering food. I never expected to get tipped 20% of what they ordered. That's ridiculous.
Right.
I don't think that the jobs are the same. They're not as involved. Like this person waiting tables, right? They have to remember everything that you ordered to put that stuff in, run out your food to you, and they're taking care of a bunch of other people too, presumably, all at the same time, right? So they have multiple people in this area that they're taking care of and making sure everything's flowing properly and making sure these people are happy. As a delivery driver, you're just delivering to destinations, exchanging cash, and going to fuck about your business. Somebody's happiness isn't important. It's just, okay, let me get this food there quickly. That's
so
it.
You're saying that they don't deserve a tip?
I'm saying they don't deserve the same type of tip that a waiter or waitress or whatever the term is has. Not at all. That's ridiculous.
Do you tip your pizza person the same amount that you tip your waiter at a restaurant?
Hell no. Mm-hmm. I don't do delivery, but if I did, hell no. They're doing two completely different jobs, like I said.
Y'all know me. Y'all know where I stand. Capitalism will not kill me, baby. Capitalism will not kill me. I say it almost on every single episode. It will not kill me. Obviously, I do not believe in tipping. I really don't. I think that tipping should come out of pure generosity. If you feel that somebody has done a good job and you want to just give them a little extra money, go ahead and do it. I don't think that it should be obligatory. I don't think that it should be frowned upon if you don't tip. Tipping is not our duty. And in terms of paying somebody's salary, that's where I'm conflicted. Or not even conflicted. That's where I believe that we shouldn't be paying that at all. Pay these workers a salary and call it a day. Don't put it on us to foot the bill for somebody else's wage when you as the business owner should be paying these people a livable wage. Like, it's ridiculous. I'll say it on every episode if I have to. When it comes to DoorDash people, I don't tip. It's funny because I actually did an Uber Eats delivery a couple days ago and it said, would you like to tip Johnny or whatever his name was? I was like, no. And I didn't leave a tip. So it is what it is. And it's not to be rude. It's like, what am I paying you for? And it's the same thing with those kiosk things. Whenever you go to like a food stand or something, they flip you the white machine and then it's like 20%, 15% or 5% or no tip. And then you feel embarrassed if you click no tip. But I don't feel embarrassed. I click no tip because why am I just giving you free money? I might be rich, but I'm not that rich. So don't even.
Oh, y'all heard that shit?
But I'm being serious, though. I don't think that people should just get extra money just because. It's not a polite thing. It's weird. Do y'all tip your DoorDash people? Do y'all tip at restaurants? Do y'all believe in capitalism? Should these big corporations pay these people a livable wage? Because my hot take is that servers actually don't want to be paid a livable wage, because I think a lot of people make some good money with tips.
I half agree with what you said. I tip when I go out to eat. If I had something delivered, I would tip on it. But what I agree with what you said is that it is not our job and our responsibility to pay these people salaries. These corporations, small business, whatever, should be held accountable and should have to pay their workers a livable wage. They shouldn't factor in, okay, well, they're going to get tipped by the patrons here, so that makes up for it. Nah, I don't believe in that at all. That sounds like a scam to me.
I mean, it is a scam. And I don't know how we came to be conditioned to think that this is normal. Wake up, America. Wake up, listeners. This isn't normal. This isn't normal. And I'm going to keep saying it until things change. I think they need to either have some kind of workers union or something. But again, my hot take is that servers actually probably don't want to get paid a livable wage because it might be less than what they're making with tips.
If you are somebody that works in that industry, please write in and let us know how you feel about that statement, because I'd be interested in finding out if that's the case. All right, Justin, I have another what would you do for you in the same vein here, because I kind of want to see what you're going to say and if you're going to upset people. So,
okay,
you go out to eat with a group of your friends, shout out DeAndre, Charles, and you order just one drink. The bill comes, other people ordered, you know, more than just one drink. They ordered some food, some apps, whatever, and everyone suggests that you just split the bill evenly. Justin, knowing that you only got one drink, what would you do?
I would look at what the total of the bill is, and when I split it and do my math, if that individual price that I'll be paying is a reasonable price, I'm cool with paying the bill. Now, if it's ridiculous and it increases my bill to the point where that's not the normal cost of one meal, I'm saying, nah, I'm paying for whatever I ordered and y'all can split it among yourself or do whatever, but I'm paying for whatever I ordered.
Got it. I thought so. Listen, I'm not broke by any means, but you know how you don't become broke? Spending money that you don't need to fucking spend. If I got one drink, let's say my drink costs $12, right? The total bill is $200. Three of us ain't splitting shit evenly. I'll Venmo whichever one of y'all want this $12. and because I believe in it, I'll put in some for the tip too. But we ain't splitting shit evenly. You're out your goddamn mind.
Yeah.
You think that I'm going to foot the bill for you because you wanted to go out. Nah, that ain't how we do things around here.
Luckily, I've never been in a situation like that. Usually, well, I'm trying to think. Let me not say stuff that's not true. Yeah, honestly, people are really mature when it comes to stuff like that. So nobody does anything ridiculous like that and expects everybody to just split it. Usually people will get the same amount of stuff and split it and it's not a big deal. So for anybody that's had to deal with that, I'm sorry. And I don't know how I would go about doing it. Or maybe I do because I just explained what I would do. But yeah, that's not a comfortable situation to be in. I think it's about respect, honestly. I think that sometimes people think that they can get away with doing stuff like that because they know that it's going to be split and people will be, in a way, taking care of it.
I'd be very interested to know what you guys think about this one, because I think it'd be like a lot of different opinions on this. I have an unpopular opinion as well, Justin, because, you know, it's the first football Sunday of a year. Sporting events in person are overrated. The same with going to the movie theater.
Well, those are two different things. I'll start with the sporting event. Overrated in what sense? Like, I don't know. I think that
the quality of watching it, the experience, all that stuff.
I mean, I think it depends on the person, to be honest. If you're more introverted, you probably prefer watching the game in your house. There's no noise. There's no drunk people. There's no fighting, because we know Eagles fans, that's what they love to do. There's no fighting or anything.
And they
like
undefeated,
that.
Never lost. You come to the link and you get them hands.
Oh, I'm not fighting with anybody, so I'm good with that. But for those of y'all that like to fight, going to Lincoln Financial Field is probably not the best place to go in that regard. But yeah, people fight, people are loud and nasty. And if it's outdoor, you know, you can be exposed to the elements. And in Chicago, it's cold. In Texas, it's hot. But we have a dome stadium with air conditioning because we're not ghetto. But it is what it is. So it depends on the person. If you're introverted, you probably prefer to watch it at home and you get a great viewing experience at home. If you get that, I think, DirecTV package, you can watch multiple games at once. But if you're extroverted, if you enjoy the company of others, if you enjoy fights and drunk people and the screaming crowd and the community, then you prefer going to an actual game. I don't think one is better than the other. I just think that it's about preference. Personally, for me, I like both. I like going to the game and I also like being in the comfort of my home and watching the games with no distraction. So it depends on how I'm feeling, but I don't feel strongly one way or the other. Now, movie theaters, those are a completely different thing. I actually don't like going to the movies, to be honest. I think I've talked about this before. People snickering and crunching and munching and laughing at stuff that's not funny, it can get annoying. And then I hate that I can't pause it, because sometimes if I go to use the restroom, I'll miss some stuff. And also, there's no subtitles. I don't know if it's just me. I don't know if I'm deaf or whatever. But sometimes when you go to the movies, you're like, what did they say? What are they even saying? And I have no idea what they're saying. And I'm missing important parts in their conversation. So in terms of the experience at a movie theater, I do not prefer that to watching it at home.
Or and sometimes if you're watching it. Yes, that too. And sometimes if you're watching it with your significant other, I know a lot of people feel my pain on this. They'll be like, what did they say? What just happened? Who is that? Like, I have no idea. It's my first time watching this too. So I guess we could find the fuck out together. How about
right,
that?
Right, right.
I personally, since, you know, it's a preference thing, I agree with both of these opinions. I don't care about going to a sporting event. I don't care about the vibe or the experience. Fuck that. I can watch this at the comfort of my own home. In a climate that I control, eating the food that I want to eat, that I'm not paying $12 for a beer. I can have all the instant replays and different camera angles, the commentary, sit in a comfortable seat, pause it, like you said, if I need to. Like, what are we doing? It's incomparable, man. Incomparable. Right. 10 out of 10, I'd rather be home than go to the event in person. I mean, I still do sometimes, not since the panty, but like, I'm good on that. And the movie theater, everything you said about is right. I don't want to sit in nobody's sticky seats. My shoes getting all that feel, that stickiness on the ground. Mm-mm. People in there laughing at shit, like being all ignorant and stuff.
Walking in front of the screen.
Texting. Yeah, you text on, like, listen, I'm good on all that. Rather just watch it at home. Enjoy the comfort of the home. The only thing that I really would see myself going out for, because it's not going to, you know, sporting events, is somebody else invites me out. Okay, I'll do it. Movies, I'm good on that. I don't ever need to go to the movie theater again. I'll still go to concerts eventually, mm-hmm. because there's no substitute for live music. So,
well, some people can argue that there's no substitute for watching the games live. Obviously, it's about preference, but you can't recreate the atmosphere of a game in your home. So I guess it's just about how you want to watch the game. If you're actively invested in watching the game, I think watching at home would be better because you don't miss anything. But at a sporting event, like, you miss a lot because you can't hear some stuff. It's like, did they score? Oh, wait, it's coming back. It's a penalty. Oh, wait, it's under review. But on TV, you can see everything clearly versus at a game. So it depends on what aspects you want to analyze. Obviously, there's free food at your house and you don't have to pay $12 for a beer. But I think part of that is just the experience because it's something that can't be recreated at home.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know where I stand on it. I think you made it clear how you feel about it, especially when it comes to the movies. So what do you have for us, Justin?
All right. So somebody said, unpopular opinion, we need to stop asking kids what they want to be when they grow up. The person goes on to say, I mean, come on, they're just kids. Think about what we wanted to be as a kid. Asking that question isn't something that bugs me as much as reinforcing what they say by doing certain things. For example, if he or she wants to become a doctor, gifting them a doctor set, decorating their room like that, it starts to build pressure in a negative way from the beginning of their life.
Hmm. That's interesting. I think that it's fine to ask kids what they want to be when they grow up. All kids have, you know, hopes and aspirations. I think where you can mess up, and I think it's what this person was getting at here, is if you try to pigeonhole them into that, like, hey, when you were 4, you told me you wanted to be a doctor. So guess what? That's what you're always going to want to be, and that's what you're going to end up being. Now, that's dangerous, man. You can't do that. You can't put that pressure on a little kid and make them think that if I don't grow up to be a doctor, even though I have no passion for this or interest in this anymore, I'm going to disappoint my parents. That's fucked up. That's bad parenting. But I think it's completely fine to ask a kid what they want to be. So then you get to know their interests. You get to know what they're into and the types, and you can start doing things with them and activities with them around the things that they like, right? If they're like, hey, I really love animals, take them to the zoo. The worst thing that can happen is they find out they don't fuck with animals, right? They don't like the smells. They don't like the noises. And they'd be like, hey, well, guess what? I don't want to work at a zoo anymore. Cool. At least they found it out.
I agree with this person in the sense of, actually, I think I disagree with one of the points that they made. What I agree with is asking the kid what they're interested in, not necessarily what their career path is going to be, because everybody knows what they like. But I think the thing that people don't know is what they want to do as far as a career, especially that young. And I don't think it's fair to put that kind of pressure on a kid, because kids, especially when you're young, you change your mind. And when you get older, you still change your mind. That's why there's the option to change your major when you're in college, because a lot of times we don't even know what we want. We have an idea of the things that we like, but we don't know how to formulate that into a career that makes sense, that we can vocalize and be like, this is what I want to be. And that doesn't apply to everybody. There's some people that are 7 and they say they're going to be a doctor and they eventually become a doctor. Some people say they want to be a doctor and end up changing their minds in the future. So it's all about asking for their interest without putting too much pressure on them to know exactly what they want to do at such a young age, because they don't teach you about different career options in school. We go through K-12, but we don't really get that much focus on careers. I know in my high school, we have a career focused campus that people can go on and take specialized classes. And in that sense, people can get a feel for different interests. But I think that in general, like, kids aren't in a track that's like, okay, if you want to be a doctor, you're going to take these classes from 5th grade onward and follow this path. It's not like that for most people. So ask people their interest. I have no problem with that, but don't put pressure on them to know exactly what they want to do.
Yeah, that I agree with. And like you said, you brought up a good point, right? Like, I know people that change their majors like 3 different times. You know what happens? You find out stuff isn't for you. you find out where your interests really lie. So I think it's okay to ask a kid that to help, you know, nurture any ideas that they might have, but you shouldn't put pressure on them to stick with this because they made a decision or had an opinion when they were 5 years old. It doesn't determine the rest of their life.
Right. And I think that kids should be exposed to different things. If you're able to expose them to piano, to sports, baseball, tennis, because they can get a lot of scholarships if they gravitate towards a sport and they happen to be good at it, it can lead to some blessing. So there's nothing wrong with giving kids exposure to different things. My only problem is force feeding them into one direction when they have interests elsewhere, and then being mad at them when they change their mind in the future, because I can definitely relate to that. Maybe we'll talk about that more in a future episode. But yeah, that's my stance on that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, write in and let us know. Or, you know, we put up some polls on this. Let us know what you think. Justin, I have an inconsequential, unpopular opinion one for you real quick, just to see what you think about it.
Okay.
The smell of coffee is better than the taste of it.
I really am not a big fan of either the smell or the taste of coffee, to be real with you. Coffee, I guess, smells nice. I don't know. Coffee, I guess, tastes good. I don't know. I'm not really a big coffee person. I only drink it to stay up, especially when I'm editing these episodes. But in terms of coffee and the smell being better than the taste, I don't know. I disagree, because I don't even like the smell all that much, to be real. I didn't even know that that was what the smell of coffee was until I went into a Barnes & Noble and I was like, why does it smell like this? But it was one of those Barnes & Nobles that's attached to a Starbucks. And every time I would walk in, I'm like, what is that smell? And then people are like, you don't like the smell of coffee? And I was like, oh, that's what coffee smells like?
Like, if you're in a dedicated coffee spot, then yeah, it smells a little different than if you go to Dunkin', right? Like, Dunkin' don't really smell like coffee to me.
Right.
I personally agree with this wholeheartedly, and I drink coffee twice a week. Only days that I go into my office, I go get some coffee. But like, I don't love the taste of coffee. I like the shit that I put in it, right? So I guess maybe I really don't like coffee, but I love the smell of it. Love the smell of coffee. I think the smell is far superior to the taste.
I like the smell of like the creamers and the caramels and the mochas and all that kind of stuff, but the actual coffee itself, I don't, you can miss me with that, I guess. I really all don't right. care.
I think if we put this up on a poll, it's going to be a very unpopular opinion. Very unpopular opinion. I have another quick one for you. Unpopular okay. opinion. Autumn is superior to summer. Let's see where you stand on this.
I would agree, honestly. In Texas, it gets really hot. Yesterday, it was 90 degrees, and it's September 12th, and it's hot. So we're still headed further into autumn, as Dante calls it. We call it fall over here, so y'all can get the regional differences in me and Dante. But I prefer fall. I like the cooler weather. I really don't like feeling hot, and I really don't like the heat. My air conditioner stopped working, and with it being so hot outside, I was burning up. And I don't know if it's because we're warm-blooded or whatever, but I hate being hot. I cannot sleep. But in the winter or in the fall, you can control your temperature all you want. If it's a little too cold outside, you can warm yourself up. There are options, but I feel like in the summer, there's not as many options. I like the summer activities. Do I like the weather? No. But for fall, so many things I associate with fall. I associate Thanksgiving with fall. I associate the start of a new semester with fall. I associate Christmas with fall, even though it's like more winter, but whatever. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. But everything that the last 4 months of the year represent, I prefer to summer. But that's just me.
And I wrote this one because it's my opinion. So it looks like we agree on something else. Look, autumn, fall, whatever you call it, is far superior to summer. Like, yeah, summer has great activities. I love the beach, right? Like, I love the beach. Love being in the ocean. Salt air is good for the soul. All that basic shit, right? But autumn's just so much better. Like, the crispness of the air. And then it does go back to being young for me. Like, the start of a new school year, start of a new semester. Like, just fresh beginnings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin spice, we can't fail to mention that. Thanksgiving. And then also for me, spooky season, because I believe in spooky season 12 months out the year.
Me too.
Halloween, scary movies, hocus pocus, all that stuff. So like, yes, fall is where I thrive, and to me it's superior to summer. Summer good, summer all right, she cool, you know, kick it with summer on the weekends, but
hot boy summer.
Autumn, yeah, autumn, that's bae, you know what I mean?
Right, summer is the mistress, and fall is bae. How about that? I don't see what everybody hates about pumpkin spice. Is it that everybody's talking about it and that's what's annoying? Because the flavor itself, I don't mind it, but a lot of people seem to have this visceral reaction to anything pumpkin spice related.
Because people have a problem with stuff that people love. Or maybe, like, there could be people that are in bad faith of just saying, like, oh, yeah, this is so great because everybody else thinks it's great. And then on the other side of it, people could be saying, no, this shit sucks because it's the cool thing to say that it sucks, right? Being counter. There's people that love to just be counter to everything that is liked or popular. Like, we went through this with pumpkin spice, with avocado, with bacon. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's annoying. Let people enjoy their stuff.
Pumpkin spice. Ain't nobody gonna make me feel bad about it. Like, oh, you think you're less of a person, or you're corny because you like something that other people like? Like, hey, guess what? We're all not that much fucking different. There's probably nothing that you do that somebody else in this world, like, that one other person in this world doesn't do or like. So get over it.
The thing is, in this culture, I don't know what it is, but people hate things that are popular, or they think things that are popular are somehow less than, and it's annoying. Like, allow people to like what they like. It's okay. But I will say, I think what it is it seems like some people are obsessed with pumpkin spice, and it gets annoying with people constantly talking about it. And I can see the point that they're making. But overall, I don't really mind. If you enjoy it, enjoy it. Because people do the same thing with Billie Eilish. They don't even listen to her music, but they've already formulated an idea about her without even giving her music a chance. And that's with any musical artist. If somebody is really popular, it's popular to not like this certain person without even listening to their stuff. And I think that's ridiculous. If you're going to at least listen to their music and have an opinion, then I'm more willing to listen. But if you're just saying that you don't like something just because everybody else loves this one thing, then you're annoying. Like, there's so many contrarians out there. You don't get a cookie for disliking something that's popular. You don't get cool points for that. So I don't know what you gain by downing something that you either haven't tried or you don't like simply because it's popular.
Right, because you're mad because everybody thinks they're cool because they like this thing. So now you're going to be cool because you're trying to be counter to it. So you think being counter to it makes you cool because all these people who like it already aren't cool in your opinion. Like, it's just stupid. Like what you like. And don't let nobody make you feel bad for liking it, man. If you like pumpkin spice like I like it, fuck it. Ain't nobody going to stop me from getting a pumpkin spice in my coffee. I don't, right. Nigga, you ain't drinking it. Right. So why are you worried about it? Right?
If you like feet. Bacon, if you like feet, if you like other activities, like, I'm not gonna judge anybody. Do you, make yourself happy, make your partner happy.
Yeah, I didn't judge the person that wrote in that feet question. I didn't judge them. Hey, live your truth, man. Do your thing.
Live your life. Hey. Okay. Somebody says, I don't think divorce is a big deal. I guess I'll read their blurb. They said, yeah, let me preface this. If you don't have kids, divorce is not a big deal. Of course, it can be traumatizing for the children if they're caught between two parents splitting up. But if you don't have kids and your relationship isn't healthy, it's no biggie. It's just like breaking up.
Except it's not just like breaking up because the law's involved. Like, right. We're talking about money and assets being divided and somebody might be claiming more because somebody got accustomed to a certain level of life, you have to pay them alimony or adult allowance, as I like to call it. You're not even with this person anymore. So somebody could be fucking your spouse, spending your money. And that sits right with your soul, talking about divorce isn't a big deal. Like, it is a big deal. It is. It's not the same as just a breakup. It's a big deal.
Interesting. I didn't think we would actually agree, but I think divorce is a big deal as well. It's not just a breakup. Like Dante said, there are legal documents involved, assets involved, prenuptial agreements that some people do or don't have. Like, it's a lot of stuff that you deal with marriage. And the same thing when a divorce happens. But the person did preface and say that if you don't have kids, it's not a big deal.
For sure, it's still a big deal. And they're like, assets aside, right? We talking about the possibility that you got to pay alimony, that you got to pay an allowance to somebody now moving forward. Because y'all fell out of love, or because you cheated, or because they cheated, whatever the case may be. But somebody got to pay some money to somebody that you're not with. So somebody else, they're in another relationship and they spending your money. They going on vacation, taking selfies with your money. That shit don't sit right with my soul, man. Like, that's how that OJ shit happened, man.
Oh, how he killed his wife? Do you think that's why?
Think about it.
I think he's just crazy.
Millions of dollars. Hold on. You paying millions of dollars to your former spouse. some dude is riding around in the sports car that you bought, flexing all over LA with your woman or your ex-woman that you're paying for all, you're footing the bill for all this. I see how somebody get upset about that.
I can see how somebody would get upset, but I don't think that you should get upset to the point of killing somebody. And I'm not going to use that.
I never said that
in a way to justify it.
No, I'm not justifying.
Well, you kind of, in a way, insinuated that that's the reason why he might have killed his wife.
Right. I said the people can. Yeah. Being upset about something like that can lead people to do things that are crazy for sure. I don't know what happened that night or what made him allegedly kill them people. You have to say allegedly, by the way, because in the court of law, he was not found guilty.
Right. Doesn't mean he's innocent. Allegedly.
No. That does not mean he's innocent. Allegedly.
But you always, well, you talked about in the beginning of this episode, you don't think that people should be applauded for, you know, putting themselves in certain situations. Why do you feel some type of way for a guy that did not sign a prenup? And now his wife is spending his money. You shouldn't feel anything. If he made the decision to not have a prenup, then that's his problem to deal with in terms of what his wife is doing with his money, right?
Wife or husband, whatever it is. Why do you get an allowance? Because we broke up. We were married. And now I have to pay you alimony because you got accustomed to a certain level of life. Why can't you go out and get a job or get a better job than what you currently have to make ends meet? Why am I responsible for that?
Because it's a marriage.
We're not together no more. So hold on. No, but okay. So we ended the marriage, right? So I ain't responsible for nothing that you got to do no more. Like, we're not together. You're not my responsibility.
It's a penalty in a way. It's a penalty because marriages are supposed to last forever. You're ending the marriage early when marriages are supposed to last forever. So your penalty is to pay this person for the rest of their life or whatever, however it is.
That's bullshit. But why is the law involved in love? That's a whole nother episode. I don't even want to.
Yeah, marriage is not love. Okay. I don't know who got in your head, but
man, that shit's it. The law shouldn't be involved in what you want to, the person you want to spend the rest of your life with. Like, and you just said it's a penalty. So we talking about marriage and love, like it's taxes. Like, I do not support this at all.
It is taxes though.
Anyway,
it is taxes though, because you get tax breaks by being married, having children. Taxes are involved.
Yeah, it's so fucking stupid. Anyway, so I guess this is another one we agreed on.
I mean, I feel like we're disagreeing about something, but the core message of it, divorce is a big deal. But you're talking now about prenups and alimony and that stuff not being fair. I think this is an interesting conversation to have if you want to have it.
Go for it.
I mean, I think that it's perfectly fair. If you came into the marriage with zero and you married somebody that has a lot of money, you didn't sign a prenup, as far as I'm concerned, that is y'all's money, because you're making the active choice to not sign a prenup, meaning that what's mine is yours. And if that's the case, if we're not together anymore, what's mine is yours. So everything that we built together, I'm owed that.
That I don't have a problem with, right? If we came into this, let's say I had $1 million, person I married had zero. We get divorced 5 years later, there's $2 million. Cool. You can have $500K because we built that million together. But to say that I need to pay you for the rest of your life, especially in we were together for 5 years and I need to pay you for the rest of your life. Nah, that's ridiculous. To me. That's bullshit.
I don't think it's for the rest of their life. I think it's a case by case basis, but I think it's like a set amount of years, like maybe 20 years. You have to continue making payments. And then if the other person gets married, that's when those payments stop. But if I was the woman or if I was the other party, I would not get in a rush to get married anytime soon. Cut me a check. Every month. I love it.
See, nah, I don't support it. I am not giving you an allowance because we used to date. Fuck that.
It's not an allowance, because if you don't have anything yourself, it's to live. It's to live the life that we were living.
Okay. So you're not a responsible adult that can go make that life happen for yourself? Is that what we're saying?
If she wasn't doing, or if he or she wasn't doing that before, why are they doing that afterwards?
So they can't be expected to improve the situation of their life?
They can. They can.
Okay then, I shouldn't be responsible for that.
No, but if you have kids, that's going
to
the kids.
We're not together no more. We're talking about if there's not kids involved. That's what we said. That's what the premise of that, the unpopular opinion that you read was, right? Kids, that changes everything. That changes my whole argument and my opinion on this. But I'm talking about two people, no kids involved. I'm responsible for paying you an allowance? That doesn't make sense to me.
If it doesn't make sense to you, why didn't you sign a prenuptial agreement?
So I wasn't even talking about prenup. I'm just talking about, I shouldn't have to pay you no money, right? if I had money coming into this and you had money going into this, that's off limits. Because that money, the money that I made before we were together, don't got shit to do with you. The money you made before we got together, but don't got shit to do with
everybody
me.
Everybody doesn't get alimony, though. Like, if you didn't sign a prenup, I think that the assets are split 50-50. Alimony, I think, is maybe in certain cases where one of the parties has nothing and the other party has a lot. And a lot to support the other person. So that's why they get alimony. But I don't think every divorce that doesn't have a prenup involved, the other person is paying monthly for that person to live until they get married again.
And then you just exposed the game because you said, well, if I'm that person, I'm not going to get married. So they're going to be in this long-term relationship. Be like, yo, once these 20 years is up, the money I'm getting for this alimony, we're going to save that to pay for this.
Why would I work?
Like, oh my God.
Why would I work? Do you think people work for fun?
Oh no, I know people don't work for fun. Trust me.
Yeah, like, I would not want to work. If I can get a check for doing nothing, then I'm going to do that and live life, because that's what life is about. It's not about working.
What did you say? What's your famous quote? You don't aspire to work. You don't have a dream job because what, Justin?
Capitalism will not kill me, baby. Okay? Capitalism will not kill me.
Let them know.
It will not kill me. But, you know, I don't know. I think alimony and all that is complicated. I'm trying to understand your point, because your point is if there's no kids involved, I shouldn't have to pay you.
We should just go our separate ways, like a breakup, right? Like,
it's
we
don't not, but you just said that it's not a breakup, though. So you can't say like a breakup when it's not just some kind of breakup.
I'm saying we ended a relationship, right?
It's a marriage, not a relationship.
A marriage is a relationship, isn't
it? It's a form of a relationship, but if it's not some regular basic relationship, you should call it a marriage.
Cool. We ended a marriage. We don't have any kids. We don't owe each other nothing. Go our separate ways. Live the rest of your life.
Well, I'm thankful for alimony, honestly, because a lot of people will just be left with nothing. And I don't think that's fair, especially if you didn't sign a prenup. Like, what's yours is mine. So keep paying for that 20 years.
So if you didn't have nothing going into a situation and somebody that you were with did, y'all end y'all marriage. You're taking something that this person earned and worked for before you guys were even together. And that's fair.
They're supporting you, though.
No, hold on. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that this person isn't there for you and supporting you. I'm talking about you earned some things before you were in this situation. This situation ends, and that person is entitled to the stuff that you worked for before they were even in the picture? That don't sit right with me.
I don't know. I don't see it the way you see it. If that's the case, then sign a prenup if you're so concerned about somebody else having your own stuff that you worked hard for. Like, I don't feel sorry at all. Why would I feel sympathy for somebody that has the ability to sign a prenup? That way somebody else doesn't get access to the stuff they worked hard for. You didn't do that. And now I'm supposed to feel sorry for you for somebody else getting money. Joke's on you. We choose our own situations, like the beginning of the episode said. So I'm not going to feel sorry for you for putting yourself in that situation.
But when people are getting married, do you think that they're in their minds, they're thinking to themselves, hey, there's a chance this might not work out, right? Like, you're getting married because you want to spend the rest of your life with this person. So you don't think that there's a chance that this isn't going to work, right? Isn't that the mindset somebody would be in?
That's how it should be. So don't get divorced then if you don't want somebody else having your money. That's why marriage is a big deal.
Don't get divorced.
Don't get divorced. Don't get divorced then, and you wouldn't have to worry about it.
So you should stay in a loveless marriage because you want to protect your money?
I didn't say that. I said that if you're concerned with somebody else possibly having access to your money, don't get divorced or don't get married.
I see what you're saying.
Because everybody's situation is different. I'm not going to judge anybody. There's plenty of people that are legally married, but they're still with other people, but they're married at the end of the day. So there's ways to work around it. So
I've seen that.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying. Justin's endorsing that OJ route. Wink, wink. He said, I'm not saying don't get divorced. I see. Sometimes you gotta read between the lines,
no,
guys.
No, it's not what I'm saying at all.
Y'all heard what Dante said, and
it's not what I said. He's trying to see how he tries to do me. Like, because I caught him, now he's trying to flip it on me. But it doesn't work like that, because he's the one that brought up OJ in the first place. So
I don't even know who that man is. I don't speak on people like that.
Okay.
Damn, that was good. What do y'all think? That's what I want to know. Write in. Some of y'all may have been through a divorce yourself, or you might be a child of divorce. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, we wanted to do, well, it's still on the docket, but we want to eventually do a divorce episode where we bring on somebody that grew up in a household where their parents weren't together. Maybe they have step siblings, and we want to ask them like how that was and how that affected them, and if they prefer a two-parent household versus like a household where they're split between parents who are no longer together.
I want to paraphrase that. So do you think it's better to have one miserable household staying together for the sake of the kids are two separate happy homes.
If it's better for the parents to not be together, the children are happier when the parents are not together, then in that situation, obviously, a two-parent household is not the best option for the kids. So it's a case-by-case basis. I don't think blanket statement one or the other is better. It just depends on the household and the kids and the family. But usually, I think that it makes sense that a two-parent household would work better than splitting between two parents. I don't know, just stability-wise is what I'm thinking. Because obviously, my parents are still together, so I never dealt with divorce or going between a step-parent or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like an interesting episode for us to do.
If anybody's out there, or we'll pick somebody. If we know somebody that's been through divorce, we'll get one of our friends to come on the show and lay some light on the show and on the podcast about divorce and how that affected them growing up. But I think it is an important conversation to have because it might clear up some things and give people new perspectives. We love that.
Isn't that what the show's about? New perspectives?
Yes, sir. That was our last unpopular opinion. So I hope you guys liked it. I hope it sparked something in you. I hope you guys are facilitating these discussions with the people in your surroundings. Like, what do you guys think? Because we talked about so much on this episode and we agreed and we disagreed, like the beginning of the episode says. But it's fun for me because I get to think. Obviously, Dante makes me think about things differently. I hope I make him think differently about certain situations. And nothing is ever black and white. You'll notice that in this episode, we try and stay away from blanket statements because one thing can't apply to everyone. So, it's always a good time on the show. I had fun on this episode. We will do these more in the future because I love them and I think y'all like them too. If not, let us know and we'll never do it again. But yeah, I really enjoyed this, Dante.
I had a good time too, man. It's always good to stimulate your mind and have some healthy debate because we're both coming from places of good faith. Right. It's not like I'm out here trying to tarnish your name.
Right. Well, I'm trying to tarnish your name.
I understand. I get it. People call me everything but a child of God. It's all right. I'm used to it.
I'm just kidding.
But no, I love the unpopular opinions. I love the what would you do? Because that tells you a lot about, you know, a person's thought process and like people hear in real time us breaking these situations down and saying, this is how I got to this conclusion. This is why I think this way. So those are fun episodes. I would say also to people, write in, interact with the show, tell us how you feel about what we talked about, ask questions to us because we want to do another Q&A episode as well.
Right. Send in questions, y'all. We love hearing from y'all. Follow us on the podcast page. All of that is linked in the description. Even the link to ask us an anonymous question is in the description as well. So scroll down a little bit, click that link. We don't know who it's coming from. And since we obviously don't know who it's coming from, feel free to leave whatever state that you're listening in from.
Tell us, you know, what part of the country you're in, that's all. Or what other country you're in, because we know we have international listeners. So shout out to y'all, too.
But that's basically it. Dante, I guess you can wrap it up. It feels like we wrapped it up, but I guess you can wrap it up anyway.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Go tell your friends to tell their friends about it. For Justin, I'm Dante. This has been another episode of Polar Opposites, your favorite podcast. We will catch you on next week's episode. Take care, guys.